All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our Jays analyst, TSN baseball analyst, Steve Phillips. How you doing, Steve?
Well, I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
So we're talking about the Philly fanatic in Philly and the hot dog gun. I mean, you would have witnessed that, I'm sure, a lot when you were playing the Phillies and when you were in Philly. But this screams lawsuit. Do you think this is going to be the end of the Philly fanatic?
I don't. I it sounds like the woman's not even going to sue. She just wants free hot dogs, I think. Think about that. You know, they had it wrapped in tape, and the reason that they did it, because at times those hot dogs have exploded when they've been shot into the stands, and everybody ended up with pieces of hot dog on their clothes. So I think the Fanatic is the best mascot in sports. And, you know, the chicken back in the day, the San Diego chicken was always a great one, too. But you know, the Fanatic is outstanding. I think they may have to curtail some of the shooting things into the stands for fear of, you know, future litigation, but I suspect they may have dodged the bullet with this one. You know, I've got my own Philly Fanatic story from back in the day. I think it was the 93 World Series. I was an administrative assistant for minor leagues and scouting and was at the World Series in Philadelphia. And the Fanatic, you know, he does all these different antics and stuff, and so he's down behind the screen at home plate. And all of the major league executives are sitting, you know, behind the screen there for the World Series from all of the different franchises in Major League Baseball. And I'm feeling pretty special, you know, being there in the front office. I've got Frank Cashin, longtime executive, with me, Al Harrison, and all the Mets guys there. And the Fanatic starts climbing up over people, over rows of seats, you know, one row at a time, over the people who are sitting there. And he keeps climbing up. And I'm thinking, he keeps climbing. He's kind of heading in my direction. I hope he doesn't have to squeeze by me. He comes all the way up, grabs my tie, pulls my face into his snout and starts doing that. Then he starts messing up my hair. And I'm sitting there trying to be like a cool major league executive. And here I am getting just absolutely ridiculed on the big screen of the Philly Fanatic at the time. It was one of the most embarrassing moments ever.
Yeah, that one would sting. And it's not like it's spring training. That's the World Series.
You could do an Ace Ventura and attack him a little bit.
I should have punched him on the way up, right? I mean, he kind of plays fun with those things for sure. And gets people to do it. But I was a young guy and mortified, absolutely mortified, trying to be, you know, cool with all the other executives up there. It's just so embarrassed.
See, I didn't know of your connection with the 93 World Series. So what was going through your mind when Carter walked off in Game 6?
I was still just horribly traumatized by the Fanatic. I didn't even, I don't even remember. It was a great series, obviously. And one that, you know, it's, that Jays team was phenomenal, and the series was phenomenal. I mean, really, those two teams were certainly the best in the game to battle it out right there. It's never left me, the trauma around that series. So rather than celebrate the walk-off, I am still reeling from getting my hair messed up.
Jay Happ was impressive. Was it yesterday or the day before?
A couple of days ago.
A couple days ago, he got his ninth win. How many more starts do you see him pitching for the Blue Jays?
So I really do believe there's a chance he could be moved by July 1st. There's so many teams. We already have seen a couple of major relievers move with Herrera and Colomé. And I really do think that the teams are defined that need starters. They know who they are. And I think for the Jays, they can really create their own mini market. And the earlier and sooner they move them, I think the more they can ask for in return, because whoever gets them by July 1st will get that many more starts out of them, and they're going to need those starts for some of them to even get to the playoffs, for others maybe to win the division and not be a wild card team. Every time somebody has a bad start or somebody gets hurt in a different franchise, all it does is up the ante there. I really think it behooved them. Why wait for him to have a bad start? He's not going to have more value to anybody. And for the Jays than what he has right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to pull the trigger here in the next week or so, 10 days.
How many other guys do you have on the radar? There's now, you know, names like Ryan Tepera. His name has been out there. Marco Estrada's obviously got 1 year left. Jaime Garcia is another guy, veteran left-hander. His numbers
are
brutal.
Hang on a sec with Jaime Garcia. Is somebody want him right now?
No, I don't think anybody's going to take Garcia now. Now, Estrada, he strings a couple other, you know, pretty good starts together. I think he's got a shot to get moved. As more of a middle of the rotation guy, but a guy, you know, a veteran pitcher that might help a team, you know, win one or two more regular season games to get to the playoffs. So I could see him being moved. You know, Tepera is an interesting guy because they do have control for a couple more years. Whether or not down that road. I think Clifford might get a look from some teams only because he's been moved before and has kind of been through that stuff. I can't imagine they're going to move Smoke as affordable as he is for next year. You know, Kendrick Morales, nobody's going to take him, although he is starting to heat up pretty well right now. I don't suspect they're going to move Grichuk. Granderson and Pierce don't have much of a market. I think it comes down to Donaldson after that and whether, you know, Donaldson can get back, get healthy, and put a run of a good 4 weeks together. I think it's closer to a July 31st deadline, and every bit of that is going to be what can they get and how does it compare to getting a second-round draft pick, because if it's not the value of a second-round draft pick, they're probably better served holding on to them, giving them a qualifying offer in the offseason, and giving themselves a shot to bring it back for a year on a one-year basis. And if not, then you get the draft pick if somebody else signs them. You know, Donaldson will desperately want to get traded at the deadline, because if he does, then he will not be offered, cannot be offered the qualifying offer in free agency in the offseason, and it would make him a much different-looking free agent without the sort of restrictions that come with a qualifying offer and a draft pick being attached to him.
With Steve Phillips, how concerning is this whole Donaldson dance, though? I mean, he's been on the DL for quite some time. He comes up to Toronto, runs the bases, pulls the chute. Now he's back in Florida. I mean, what's going on here with him?
Yeah, it's frustrating. And look, the one thing I've always believed, players want to play. Right, Donaldson, there's nothing we can question about him. About, you know, we can question that he's injury prone, but the fact his desire to play is something that I don't think could be called into question. So I think that he's looking at it thinking, I it's not quite right. I know that if I come back, I could probably play a few games. I could probably nurse it, but I want to be at 100% so I can go out there and gun it and put myself in the best position probably to get traded at this point, because it does behoove him to get moved. So I think he's looking at it, let me get 100% so I can go out there, you know, for 4 weeks and nobody can question that I can do everything on the field and maybe end up getting dealt. And you know, I don't blame him. And remember, even if they do trade him, they could sign him back again next year for the right deal.
Which I don't think that option has been brought up enough. I mean, that's the route I would go with. I understand what you're saying about the qualifying offer and then the idea of maybe the market won't be out there for him because that's hanging over the negotiation. But I would get as much as you can now. And if you really are committed to him, or you feel like, you know, the market isn't out there come the winter meetings, maybe you can circle back. Why can't you try to talk to Donaldson in December?
Well, there's no reason why you can't, right? It's the Yankee Aroldis Chapman move that brought in Gleyber Torres.
Right.
And then they went right back and re-signed him. It's something that I think you might see the Mets try to employ this year with Jeurys Familia, with teams looking for end-of-the-game relievers. I could see the Mets trading Familia and then re-signing him to bring it back for next year as well. And so that's certainly an option for Donaldson. It'll come down to what the actual value is. You know, for him, it's got to be, you know, predictability. If someone's going to make a deal for him, particularly a National League team, they're going to have to know that he's healthy, that he can play third base on a regular basis, because they're not going to have the DH option available to him. And so, you know, his health is going to be the critical factor. You know, you're never 100% sure that it's, but if he goes out there and he can really start to run and do his thing on the field for, you know, a good 3-4 week period, they may get what they want in a deal for him. But, you know, there's a big if in there, and that's when he comes back to play and if he can stay healthy.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, you bet. My pleasure, guys.
There's Steve Phillips, our TSM Baseball Insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing your service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com.